That's the title track from a brand new album by a little family band from Newport, Rhode Island that formed in 1965. We're talking about the Cowsills. And brothers Paul and Bob and sister Susan and, well, some of their kids and friends have all banded together for some brand new music. The album is called Rhythm of the World. It's the first new album in nearly three decades for the Cowsills. And here to talk with us about it, we're joined by Paul Cowsill. Hey, Paul, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for making a little time for us today.
Well, thank you for having me, I'll tell you.
Man, I have been listening to the new album ever since Friday. It's absolutely terrific. And well, I understand that we have to thank in some part to the folks on the Happy Together tour for bringing this all together.
It's true. It's true. You know, we were out on that tour and every night when the Turtles would sing Happy Together, Howard Kalin, Eddie from Flo and Eddie, he would, you know, insist that the audience get up, and they'd start screaming at him, get up, you got to get up, like that. And me and Bob were hearing that, and Susan were hearing that every night, and we said, gosh, we should write a song about you got to get up. And so that plus Susan harping on me and Bob that we need to make an album, we need to get in there one last time and make this album. So those two things happened, and all of a sudden, we write You Gotta Get Up, and all of a sudden, we're on these buses. So me, Bob, and Susan would stay up while everybody went to sleep, and we started writing. And the three of us hadn't really ever written together like that. Me and Bob had always written together, but the three of us, me and Susan, we really started collaborating on lyrics and stuff. And so we wrote these songs on the Happy Together tour. So it is the Happy Together tour that had us in that space to where we could get this done. Once we wrote them, well, then the natural thing is to record them.
Well, and You Gotta Get Up kicks off the album. It really sets the tone for just a fun, incredible album of those patented Cowsill harmonies, great musicianship, and it really is a multi-generational Cowsills band these days, too.
It is. Our kids are in the band now. I feel like the King family. but, you know, Brendan, my son, is playing guitar and singing. He's got that kind of voice like all of us. And Bob's son, Ryan, is on keyboards. He took over keyboards for me because I was tired of, you know, putting strings and all these other things that we need in the songs. And then they're asking me to sing. But it was a collaboration by me, Bob, and Susan, and it started pouring out. And, you know, songwriters, they'll know when you write a song, you want to record it. You just got to record it. You got to get it down. And that's what we were hoping to do, and we got it done.
The title cut, Rhythm of the World, is fantastic. It's an appeal for all of us to take care of our home, but also just a fantastic song to listen to. I was grooving to it this morning in the sunshine on my back porch.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, Susan did a good job there. That's her melody. That's her thought, okay? And that's how she thinks. And so it's interesting because we were talking amongst ourselves going, gosh, you guys, the world is almost in the same position as it was back in when we were first coming in to this. There was a war. There was civil rights. There was everything was going on, you know. We were getting underneath desks, hopefully, to, you know, avoid getting burnt by the nuclear thing. And now, all the way now into these years, the same things are happening. It's kind of crazy. So we kind of lended our voices to some thoughts, really. You know, we've got lend a hand where you would want everybody to help that guy on the corner, okay? Because that could be you. You could have lost your job on Friday, and now you're at the Costco corner hoping for some food or for some money. They're not that different than you and I, and you know, and it's all about loving. You got to love each other, and can we do that, you know? And that's, you know, kind of what we were asking in that song. Otherwise, you know, and Rhythm of the World, just Susan's thing about, you know, the world and how beautiful it is, but we got to take care of it. We can't just forget about everything. And so it just seems timely, unfortunately. The juxtaposition to Rhythm of the World would be Nuclear Winter, you know, and that's a song we wanted to do because, you know, it's pertinent to us. You know, it's always been with us, and nobody wants it. And nowadays, it's being talked more about today than ever.
We're talking with Paul Cowsill here on Downtown. The new album is out, and it's fantastic, Rhythm of the World. Some very personal songs on there, too, including a really terrific tune that remembers a friend of yours called Hawks on the Line.
Yes, Hawks on the Line. You know, I live out here in the middle of, we have a hay farm, and we'd be going to town, and I would look up on the lines, the phone lines, and the irrigation lines, and I'd see these hawks. You know, and I know hawks usually are one hawk per amount of area, you know. They'd usually, but I've counted 10 going to work, and I said to Luann, my wife, I go, I think somebody wants me to write a song about hawks. And it was so funny because I started writing it, and my friend Renee, who I'd worked, you know, we were scenic artists in movies and stuff, and all of a sudden I realized, God, this is about her, because she, Rich, she thought she was a hawk, and she thought she could fly, and she thought her hawk came, her own hawk would visit her, and so as soon as I realized this was about Renee, man, that song came flowing out.
And another very awesome. A very personal song that you wrote as well, Goodbye's Not Forever.
Goodbye's Not Forever. That was a sad time of life. I was taking care of two boys that had muscular dystrophy. They were brothers, which was unusual in and of itself. And I would go to school with them, and I was with them 6 years, total caregiver, getting them up in the morning, showering, getting them teeth brushed, doing this whole thing with them. And then time was going by. It had been 6 years, and it was time for me to leave, and time for Drew, one of the boys, to move on and get himself going to college and stuff. And I was sitting outside looking through these branches, waiting for him to get out of school, and I just realized I was going to have to tell him I was leaving, and I just started writing all these words down, and it was a very sad song, really, to write and to sing in the studio. It was very tough. I had to think about baseball and cold showers and things like that. But Drew's brother, Danny, who is still alive and still has it, he heard it, and, man, he loved it. And so it was a cathartic song to do.
The last song on the album, man, what a gut punch. Ooh. And I understand that all three of you wrote the song together and done from the perspective of your brother Barry, who was lost in Katrina.
Yep. Barry came through Bob's brain, you know, because everybody was trying to figure out, well, how do we write this, and how has it become delicate, you know, and how can we do this with it meaning something? And then all of a sudden Barry started throwing these words out, and that song is from Barry's point of view, you know. I was born in 54. Well, that was Barry. That Barry was born in 54, you know, and my mom was pregnant with John, you know, and the storms were coming. And actually the hurricane was, you know, that in 54 was Carol, and we were in Newport, Rhode Island when that hit, you know. And so that's referencing that, you know, we knew this hurricane stuff before. And yeah, it's just, it was a very tough song to do. But it was all about B and what he went through.
Well, anybody who
Barry told him.
Anybody who knows your story or who has seen the documentary knows what you've dealt with and know what an incredibly unimaginable day that was. The day that you were able to find Barry, and then you get the news about your brother Bill.
Yes, we were having a memorial. We were having that Irish wake for Barry. And there were people from all over, Rich, all over the place, and it was just, it was so heavy. It was so heavy, and we had to tell the people that came from all over the world for Barry, and then we had to tell them right there during the wake that Bill had passed, and everybody just went, you know, It was crazy. But then we just started playing music, and we rock and rolled all night. We did Barry tunes and Billy tunes, and everybody was happy at the end.
There's a funny moment in one of the recent episodes of the podcast, which is great, by the way. And I think it's Susan who says, you guys can always tell when someone has just seen the documentary because of their facial expression.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, it happened to all of us in one way or another. You know, I worked in the movies, and so I was doing this TV show called Grimm. And I went to work one morning, and all of a sudden I saw the grips and a couple of electrician guys coming with their hands out looking to give me a hug. And I go, guys, I'm okay. But, you know, you can always tell somebody who might have seen it when they look at you, if they have that, you can tell they watched the documentary. And so we always want to reaffirm to everybody, we're good. We made it through it, you know, with the love of each other, all of us siblings. We were always very tight. And so we made it through it by being the family we are, you know, and that's why this new album, it just has the same love going on. People go, well, why are you doing this? Well, because we love each other and we want to do it and we love playing music together and we just want to do it. And so, yeah, it was very cathartic. This whole album, honestly, was so much fun to do, and because we didn't really think we'd ever get this opportunity to write original tunes again that were decent, were good. You know, we didn't really know how it was going to be accepted, honestly, because we just wrote them and then recorded them. And we kept going back in the studio going, well, guys, so I like this song. And yeah, we like this. And so we're figuring, well, if we like it, maybe the people will like it.
Well, the people will love it. Absolutely. It's great stuff. And we also have to thank Dr. Rock Positano for his role in bringing this all together.
Oh, my God, Rich, without Rock, this isn't even a done deal. This is a deal that never got done because we were underneath a pledge thing. Pledge music was like, you know, where you would go ask for money so you can make the album. Well, we had a lot of pledgers, and we were way up to like $70,000. And then Pledge Music went bankrupt, and none of us got any of that money to do anything. And Rock had also put money into the pledge campaign because he asked us. He goes, well, what do you want to do? Want to get rid of the pledge and we'll just do this? But there had already been like 800 people that pledged $20 or $25. And we said to Rock, well, we don't want to do that. We want the pledge people to get their stuff. And he goes, then we'll do it that way. And he bought out Pledge, and then it went belly up. And then Rock just called us and said, look, don't worry about anything. We're going to make this album. We're going to get this done. We don't need Pledge. I can get Pledge some later down the road. And he became our executive producer, and he's all in. This guy, he's all in. He's all in, and he told us the other night he's all in, and he's in 1,000%. He could have said 110 or 105%, and we would have been happy. But when he said he's all in 1,000%, that means it's going to get a shot, and people are going to get to hear this album, unlike a couple of other albums that we've had out that went right to a shelf.
I want to go back to the early days for a moment. We were fortunate enough to have the great Carl Reiner on our show a few years ago, and it was Carl Reiner who was responsible for you guys recording Hair.
It was. He was doing a TV show. Harper's Bazaar was a magazine back in the day, and they wanted to do a TV show that talked about the fashion and the hair and all this, and we were a clean-cut family band back then. And Carl called up, and he said, look, guys, I want you to do this song, Hair. It's from the play, and we weren't really, you know, hair really wasn't a big thing then. Little did we know that Oliver and Three Dog Night and everybody was going to be doing a song from that show, but we were just doing a TV show that was going to show the times, and Carl asked us to do the song. We went in. It took us 2 days. They wanted us to split the song up between everybody. So Bill starts it. I come in after Bill. Bob's in after me. Barry and John's in after Bob. And then Susan is Ann Spaghetti. And it was a terrific, but it was just for a TV show. And then it sat for 8 months until Carl was ready to do the TV show. But then everybody heard it and was going, man, this is a great song. And we called MGM and said, hey, we're putting this out. And they said, no, you're not. It'll ruin you. It didn't ruin us at all, and we put it out. Somebody in Chicago at WLS played it, and that's all it took. Back then, you know, the radios were the kings. And so everybody started calling in, and MGM was forced to put it out. It was our biggest seller. It was sold like 8 million, and it was our biggest hit. And, it was also the last hit, because the band broke up kind of later on, you know, in the 70, 71. I got drafted. My draft number was 2.
Ouch.
And, you know, my dad was in the Navy for like 30 years. I mean, we weren't going to be draft dodgers, you know, or any of that, you know. So I got drafted, and so I went. And then the band pretty much broke up after that. So.
And, you know, we play a lot of classic rock oldies here on the station. And just yesterday, I think, I was listening, and The Rain, The Park, and other things came on. And that song, as it did 50-some years ago, it just stands out. It's got such a unique sound. And I guess a part of that is because Artie Kornfeld wrote that along with Steve Dubroff just for you guys.
They did. They did. They had it in their minds. They saw us in Newport, Rhode Island. And they saw the kid band, man, and they went, oh, this looks great. And, you know, and Steve and Artie, they had just had, I'm the Pied Piper, follow me, and I'll show you. Well, that was their song. So they became, you know, back then, if you had a hit, you could become an A&R guy, or you could bring bands to a label, and they would listen to Artie and Steve because they had just had a big hit. And so that was it. And Artie was our producer. Artie was our George Martin, and he believed in us. You know, he wasn't keen on Mom, so we knew he didn't put Mom in the band because he wasn't real happy about it. We're still trying to figure out who did that, but we don't know. I always think that my dad was watching the King family on TV one night and went, you know what, we're going to put Barbara in the band. Look at all those moms are in their band. And then it did it, you know, and it was funny because all of a sudden you get Mom in the band and we have this big hit. And so she's in.
I want to mention, too, for anybody who might be in the area, you guys are doing a terrific residency, essentially, out in Branson, Missouri, later in the fall at the Andy Williams Theater.
Yeah, we're getting the opportunity to do the annual Andy Williams Christmas show. And it's going to be for 5 weeks. We start November 1st, end on December 9th. And it'll be six shows a week and all Christmas. And, man, we love Christmas. And to be able to be doing it all through November, because, you know, when I would be at work, I'd start doing Christmas carols really early, and people would really frown upon it. And but now we're going to be deep in Christmas all of November, and it should be so much fun at Branson. Yeah, if you can get out, it'll be a hoot of a time, I'll tell you.
Well, it's out now, Rhythm of the World, the brand new album, the first new one in nearly three decades for the Cow Sills. It's available in stores, on streaming services, and man, is it great stuff. You guys sound wonderful together. It's so good to have new Cow Sills music, and great to talk with you today, Paul.
Well, thanks, Rich. Yeah, we're very proud of it. You know, our vocals are ringing true. We're very happy we can still sing and sound good and sing on pitch. As you get older, a lot of times, you know, old people can't really sing on pitch, and we're still hanging in there.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Thanks again, Paul. We wish you continued success.
Thank you, Rich. Everybody, be safe out there.